is the columnist for USA Today. You can check it out online, usatoday.com. Pick up the paper. It's the red section. Follow along on Twitter, the handle George Schroeder. George, a very good Wednesday to you, sir. How are things?
Things are good. How are you, Steve?
Good. I wanted to discuss what you wrote, the passing and also the career of former SEC Commissioner Mike Slive, who held that job from 2002 through 2015. And while you write about an amazing array of topics and people, you know, sometimes it's just a chance to chat for the piece, but you actually had a personal relationship with him. If you would kind of share the time you got to spend with him and kind of you got to know him and maybe the legacy of this little diner in Alabama.
Yeah, listen, I mean, I got to know Mike Slive a little bit after I got to USA Today and wrote a couple stories on him and actually did a big profile on him back in, I don't know, 2013 or 14. And really felt like I got to know him because that's how he was. He was a guy who, and this is no knock on anybody else, but you know, in our business, Steve, we ask questions of people, and so we're used to asking about their lives. We're not really used to them asking about our lives. And that's fine. That's great. I mean, that's not the reason we're talking with him. He was a guy who wanted to know about your life, and so. You know, he would ask how my family was. He understood, you know the story of our son Christopher, who's
sure.
doing really well but had a tough start. And so he would always ask those questions, was always very interested, and he began to ask me whenever I was going to be in Birmingham to go ahead and go to meet with him and hang out at this breakfast diner he had. And that continued after he retired and left the business, so to speak. And so he really kind of became less of sort of a source and a guy you needed to talk with because he was a newsmaker, and more of, he would have described it as a friendship. And that is just an unusual thing. And that diner was a neat kind of greasy spoon place where he could be a little bit of a celebrity, but it was a down-home thing where he was among a bunch of guys who were not really, they weren't part of his regular world. And so it was a neat part of his life of the last, 10 years or so.
Yeah, you told that story on the podcast you took part in with Ralph Russo of the
right.
AP. And so not only was he asking about you, but you just unexpectedly, I thought it was fascinating. You know, his wife showed up, one of his kids, grandchild, and just the fact that he would be so in tune with you and be so open with a reporter about his life and something like that. I mean, it's really kind of that human personal side he became respected for.
Right. And look, there are guys like that you meet throughout your career and you're like, hey, these guys are genuine, regular guys. Here's a guy who you could make an argument that he's, if not the top, most powerful, influential type guy in college sports over the last half century, certainly one of the top three or four or five. I don't think there would be an argument about that. I think we just put him up there. And yet here he was, just a regular guy. My story is not unique among other journalists, among other people he knew who weren't journalists, but, maybe he touched them through different sports business or whatever else. He was just a guy who, in addition to be the smartest guy in every room he walked into and getting all these different things done, seemed like a genuinely nice guy. And let me backtrack, was a genuinely nice guy. And
right.
So it was really, I'm saddened, obviously, when people I know pass, but I was very saddened when he died.
Now, I mentioned he took over as the SEC Commission 02. And at that time, I mean, especially a younger generation might not understand that Alabama was down. The true elite were Miami, Florida State, Oklahoma, Ohio State, and those conferences. So their rise to dominance where they won those seven straight BCS titles, I mean, that's under his guidance.
Well, it is. And you left out USC, which I had sort of a miniature dynasty, that right about the time he took over, they cranked it up. But, he doesn't either get or take. He wouldn't have taken credit for that seven in a row that happened, especially on his watch. I think he ended up with eight, but certainly some of the things he did and some of the policies he enacted and some of the attitude that he created around the SEC went a long way towards helping them achieve that in football. The SEC look, we all know they like to thump their chest and beat their chest and say they're the best in basketball and football, excuse me. They'd love to say that about basketball, but the best in football, and they're not always. And they're not all. It's not always Alabama versus Georgia every week. Sometimes it's Mississippi State versus, you know, Kentucky. And that's not especially great football any more than anywhere else. And the Alabamas and the Georgias of the world are not always better than the best team in your favorite conference. But they have, by and large, over that period, once they got it cranked up, been the best conference most years. And in some years, they've been the deepest. And many years, they've had the best team, even if they weren't the deepest in the best conference. And I think you need to give a lot of credit to him, both in sort of the attitude that he created, kind of a one-for-all, all-for-one attitude, that whole, that infuriating SEC, SEC, SEC chant that fans can't stand if you're from, if you're a fan of another school in another league. That wasn't an always thing. That really has happened since they really started getting that success going. And he would be the first to say that he you know, came along at the right time when TV deals were going exponentially bigger, but he helped create with the right timing the right kinds of TV deals, and he struck with the right timing in a reactive mode, but ended up with Texas A&M and Missouri, and then went, and that was a huge expansion thing, and then he went and you know, that was the right time to finally do a conference network for them, and it has, for all the issues with the Pac-12 network, and obviously they went with a different model, the SEC network is unbelievably successful, and they are making a ton of money off of it. Each school is getting a ton of money.
Yeah.
And it's, and all of those things sort of lift all the boats. That's sort of the rising tide, so to speak. No Alabama, pun intended.
Very good. I'm talking with George Schroeder about the late, great Mike Slive. You know, I'll be honest, I knew him primarily as the SEC commissioner, but then I read his bio. So he held that job in other leagues. Plus, along with his level of education, you alluded it to it earlier. I mean, when you speak of a life fully lived and a list of accomplishments, I mean, he doesn't have many peers, I don't know, anywhere, but especially not in college sports.
No, he really doesn't, and that's the thing. He was the SEC commissioner before that. He was at the Great Midwest Conference, which sort of morphed and evolved into the Conference USA. But before that, he had a full career as a lawyer. He was a district court judge in New Hampshire. I want to say it was New Hampshire. As an attorney, he was in the Pac-10 office, or it might have been the old Pac-8 at that point, as an investigator, back when they had sort of their own investigators for infractions issues.
Right.
And then he went from there to form, along with a guy named Mike Glazier, who Oregon fans may remember was utilized by the Ducks when they were in NCAA issues with the Will Lyle stuff. He and Mike Glazier formed the very first sort of defense firm, like a boutique cottage industry to defend schools when they're facing NCAA rules of violation allegations. So he essentially created that cottage industry, which is now just part of life with schools and members of the NCAA. And he did all those things before he ever became a conference commissioner. I mean, just creating that boutique industry, nobody had ever really thought about it.
No.
And what those guys do, and Mike Glazier has gone on to be sort of the foremost guy in that because he stuck with it. Which is, you know, why Oregon, among many, many others, hired him when they needed him. Mike Slive, you know, is the guy that put that together with Glazier.
One last thought on Mike. Another aspect that struck me. I mean, we live in a combative time, whether it's politicians, high-level people in sports. It seems like they're at war with the media and journalists. And he was one of these guys who he might not see eye to eye or agree with everything you wrote or said, but he just had that unique ability, I'm thinking from what you said, to kind of put that pettiness aside and meet with those same people and just actually appreciate the chance to talk about it rather than just scream about it in the media.
Yeah, I mean, he really was very thoughtful. And it was interesting, and Ralph Russo mentioned this in the podcast that you referred to earlier, but he was the kind of guy who would give you very, very, very thoughtful answers. And sometimes he would back up, and he was choosing his words very carefully and say, strike that, just like he was in a court of law or something. My point is not so much that, but that he was willing to give you thoughtful answers and legitimate answers. And if he didn't want to discuss something, he'll just say, I can't really talk about that. But it's a different model than what you see from a lot of people who are not quite as accessible. Now, that, let me just say this. That is, I'm not casting aspersions on other conference commissioners or athletic directors or coaches. I'm just saying Mike Slive was an extraordinary guy. And I realize that, you know, for Pac-12 fans, maybe he didn't, it's not something that comes up a lot. But let me just say this. If you like the fact that we're in a college football playoff, regardless of whether you think it should be 8 or 16 or 400, if you like the fact that we got past the BCS and into the college football playoff, he is the chief catalyst for that. So if you don't know anything else about Mike Slive, know that that's what he did.
And folks, check out the article, real good stuff, usatoday.com. A couple final thoughts for George, the NBA playoffs. So I felt all along we were kind of seeing a coronation for the Warriors. Then after winning Game 3 by 41, they blow a lead in the fourth quarter. So despite the fact that the first seven games of both conference finals were duds, you think we finally have some drama and intrigue in a series that actually might be up for grabs?
I think without question. And I think, really, I mean, the Boston-Cleveland series is fascinating just because it was just because the way it started and now how it's turned. But the what Houston did last night and coming from a dozen points down in the fourth quarter and really the Rockets looking tremendous and playing great defense and the Warriors, just as importantly, looking utterly discombobulated down the stretch.
Yeah.
And not just mortal, but like bewildered. That to me is really interesting because I thought even after the Rockets won game two, even before the series shifted back to Oakland, that, okay, Golden State's going to win. You know, they're clearly still going to win this. And then, of course, they won game three, and I was just like, yep, that they're the better team. And but now all of a sudden I'm like, they got rattled. I thought Houston got in their heads a little bit. Now the series shifts back, and the Rockets, by the way, have home court advantage again. And it, I think it's got tremendous potential to be a heck of a series, and I'm not sure I know who's going to win now.
No, knock me over with a feather. And one last hypothetical. Say the Cavaliers solved Boston and they win this in six games and they face the West winner. Despite the incredible performances we've witnessed by LeBron James, you think the Cavs would have a chance of beat either coming out of the West?
No, I don't. I think both the Rockets and the Warriors are better and significantly better than, frankly, either of the teams. I would be interested to see what Boston could do, but I'm not enthused about the Cavs' chances of beating either of those two teams.
All right. USATOday.com. Pick up the paper. It's the red section. George, I really enjoyed all you had to say in that podcast and write about and what we had to discuss with a truly unique gentleman in Mike Slive. Thanks so much for your time. Enjoy the rest of your week, and we'll catch up next week.
All right. Hey, thank you, Steve.
All right. Take it easy.